Jesus. Jesus. Father, we bless you. Praise you, Jesus. Glorify you. Praise you, Jesus. Give you praise, Lord. Your complete mind, Father. Holy Spirit, the great teacher. Line upon line, sir. Line upon line. Give you praise, Father. I give you praise. Glory and honor. In Jesus' name. Let's be seated real quietly. Real quietly. Keep playing, Robert. Hallelujah. Turn a little bit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Perfect. Worship your Lord. Just going to ask before you go on, please. Guys, all cell phones, I beg you. Cut them off, please. Maybe make sure that our kids don't have their cell phones on. Please, guys, cut yourself out of respect to God. I'm nobody. Please cut your cell phones off. It's pretty disrespectful to be texting in church. That's extremely disrespectful. Very, extremely disrespectful. Jesus. A little bit, Robert. A little bit more. Hallelujah. Jesus. Your mind, Father. Your mind, Lord. Your wisdom. For the situations at hand, Father. For the situations at hand. Jesus. You know, being a Christian, it's held too broadly. Meaning, when you're a Christian, you bear fruit, man. You bear fruit. Really, I'm really concerned. Really concerned. God, really concerned. If the trumpet blew today, if I'd see you with me with the Father. Wow. Real concerned. Sometimes I feel like I worry more about you making heaven than some of you do. But all I can do is keep going forward. Keep doing in the Spirit what I feel God's called me to do. But I can't force none of you to come with me. I can't force you. All I can do is just pray. Really pray. Not just saying that, really pray for you. That the light switch would come on. But being a Christian is a fruit, man. There's fruit behind it. We've been teaching in 1 John. If you plant a tomato plant, it's going to produce tomatoes. If you plant Christ in you, it's going to produce righteousness. This is the thing. Sometimes we feel like, I'll be okay. It's fine. Keep thinking like that. Are you judging me, Pastor Omer? No, I'm not judging anybody. I just know that when you give your life to Jesus, you live right. You live right. I just keep going forward. Just keep going forward. Doing the best that I can in Him. It's got to be visible when you're a believer in Jesus Christ. I asked a man the other day, you think you're born again? A friend of mine, he said, yeah. I just left it at that. being born again. You live to live right. Don't hold that term too loosely, my friends. Because the church uses it too loosely. The corporate body of Christ uses it too loosely. Don't hold it too loosely. Amen. That's good, Robert. Hallelujah. That's good, buddy. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Dang, that's good enough. Yeah. Hallelujah. Awesome, awesome, awesome. When you we're going to get back to the teaching. I know we're going to worship some more. This is discipleship class week number 4. I'm going to try to break it down to you in real basic terminology so you can understand it. If you're a football player, there's a few of them in here, and I was your coach, and I talked to you in baseball terminology, would you understand me? Okay, well, Quint knows a little bit about baseball. We got Elijah, and Elijah does too, and Deidre doesn't know nothing about baseball or kickball. Jimmy, he can't play either. So Deidre, you know, the football player, if I told you, Deidre, I want you to do a sacrifice. I want you to get the runner in from third, but I want you to sacrifice it. What would I mean, Deidre? You know what I meant by that? That's exactly my point. Because he's a football player. And I'd be a baseball coach. So Deidre would look at me like I was completely crazy. If I told Jimmy, as a wide receiver, I want you, Jimmy, to throw a curveball at the cornerback. Jimmy wouldn't, what? A curveball? He wouldn't have a clue as to what I was saying because he's a football player. I'm a baseball coach. Or if you tell a baseball player, run a 31 dive, what would the baseball player, Elijah's a fullback, Elijah, if I told a baseball player, run a 31 dive, what would they think of me? You're about a 31 idiot, what they would tell me. So, two different sports, two different terminologies. When you're not born again, when you're not a Christian, you don't really comprehend righteousness. We know one thing when we're not born again, and that's what? Sin. And we don't feel bad about it because all that's in us is sin. Because we have a sin nature. So you're not born again unless I walk in a super duper anointing. You won't comprehend what I tell you unless I walk in enough power where you can feel the Spirit of God in me. But if you're not born again, and I try to tell you to live according to this, it won't even faze you, man. Because this doesn't live inside of you. You're not born again. The Spirit of God does not live inside of you. So me teaching you about this when you're not born again, it's not gonna make sense to you because all you know is sin. When I was not born again, I used to get drunk a lot. And guess what? It did not bother me. Because all I was doing was what I had inside of me. When I was not born again, I loved pornography. Why? Because I had a sin nature. It didn't faze me. I didn't want to do right because what lived in me? Wrong. I didn't want to read my Bible. I didn't want to love you. I didn't want to pray. I didn't want to worship. Because that stuff, the desire to do that did not live inside of me. Quite the contrary lived inside of me. Strife, anger, fornication, adultery, desire for drugs, all that was in me. And there was nothing to oppose the things, the bad things that I wanted to do. But then I got born, what? Then I got born again. The first birth was from my mother's womb. I was born with the spirit of the world in me. The spirit that knew nothing but sin. But then I gave my life to Jesus. And the Spirit of God came and lived inside of me. So now the rules changed. Now instead of all this ugliness and all this sin coming out of me. Now I gave my life to God and His Spirit came and lived inside of me. And God is love and love is in me. Now, the very things that I used to do, they don't come out of my spirit anymore. Quite the contrary comes out of my spirit because God lives in me. Are you with me? When I wasn't born again, the things of the world poured out of me because the spirit of the world was what? In me. So then I give my life to Jesus Christ. I'm born again. The first birth was, I came out of my mother's womb. I was born with a spirit of the world, a spirit of sin. Then I got born again. I said, Jesus, you are the Son of God. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Now God, the Spirit of God, lived inside of me. Now righteousness came out of me. Things like don't cuss, don't drink, don't commit adultery, don't fornicate, don't hear this, don't do that. Something changed inside of me. The Spirit of God came and lived inside of me. Two different, the football coach, the football player will be trained by a football coach. A baseball coach can't train a football player. And a football coach can't train a baseball player. It takes a baseball player to train a baseball player. And it takes a football coach to train a football coach. It's going to take God in me to show and train me of the ways of God. See the spirit of the world that was in me? When I said yes to Jesus, it was put to what? Death. It no longer exists. Where? It no longer exists where? Inside of me. Now the Spirit of God lives inside. That's why I'm concerned for the body of Christ. And I shake my head when I look at things on Facebook. I just shake my head at some of the things that I see. Because the Spirit of God lives in us, man. And He instructs us on how to live. Listen to this real quick. We're going to take it one step further. I know we're going to go back into worship a little bit. 1 John chapter 5. We know that to know God in truth, we must confess what? And what is truth? That what? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So then, when we accept Jesus Christ into our heart, the Spirit of God comes and lives inside of us. What lives inside of us? His what? His love or his commandments. Okay. Now, can I keep His commandments without keeping the first commandment? Why? That's exactly right. I can't keep the commandments many unless I keep the first commandment one. And the first commandment that I'm to keep. See, you can confess Jesus with your mouth all you want, man. But if you don't believe it here, it's just that, it's vanity. Don't be so quick to think you're secure in Jesus. If there's more bad in your life than there is good, something's wrong, man. That's called habitual sin. And that's the first thing that's broken in our life when we give our life to God. So then, if He asked me to keep His commandments, then He's talking to a person that's what? Born again, exactly. Okay, you're catching on. That's why I go back and forth. That's why I say the same thing over and over again. Would He ask me to keep His commandments if I was not born again? If I was born again, would He ask me to keep His commandments? Why? Because His commandments were living inside of what? Me through the rebirth. So I gave my life to God, Dada. Jesus came into my heart. Jesus came and lived inside me. The Spirit of God did it. Now all that God is, all that He speaks to my spirit, is His commandments, is His love. So He would never ask me to keep His commandments lest I kept the first one. The first one is to know that Jesus Christ is Savior of the world. Listen to this real quick. We'll take it one step further. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. This is the first thing He said. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Is He talking to a believer or to an unbeliever there? Why? How do you know He's talking to a believer? Because He said what? By this we know that we love God, that we keep His commandments. So you establish that He's talking to a believer because He said keep His commandments. He would never ask
an unbeliever to keep his commandments because unbeliever had never kept what? The first commandment. You with me? Okay, you're doing good. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And listen to this. Listen to what he says. And his commandments are not burdensome. He said, this is love, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not a burdensome. In other words, this is love, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not a burden. Why would he say that? He said, I want you to keep the commandments of God. And by the way, his commandments, they won't be a burden to you. Why would he tell believers in God that the commandments of God would not be a burden to me and you? Why would he say that? Uh-huh, got you. Come on, Poppy. What's your bad self? Okay, well, let Julio talk. He wants to talk. Alex, be quiet. Go over to what, Julio? What were you saying, Alex?
Trading your weakness for
the Mexican got it right, Alex. You got it wrong. Viva Mexico. He said, and this is love, that we keep his commandments. Remember, he's talking to a believer. And by the way, his commandments are not a burden. You know why they're not a burden to us? Because he's talking to a believer. He says, this is love, that you keep his commandments. And his commandments, they won't be a burden to you. They won't be a burden to you because you don't have to look out to keep it. They're not a burden to you because the commandments that he wants you to do are what? They're in you. So you don't have to search left and right to find the wisdom of God on how to live, because the wisdom of God, his word, his love, his commandments, they're not a burden to you. Why will they not be a burden to me, John? Because they live inside of you. They won't be, they're right there inside of you. So it's like you weren't born again and you felt like lusting. You lusted. Why? Because lust lived where? Inside of you. The spirit of the world lived inside of you. But now you're born again. Your born again spirit says, don't lust. And if it says, don't lust, I got the capacity to keep it. And it's not a burden to me. Why? Because that commandment is inside of me. And this is love, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments, they won't be a burden to your church if you're born again. Why? Because the commandments live inside of you, because you kept the first commandment. Listen to this now. That's pretty good. But this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And by the way, they're not a burden to you. For verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. He said, listen to what he said now. I'm not going to keep you long. He said, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Now, I don't want no grown up in here to answer this question. Listen to what he said. I got a $50 bill right here in my wallet. I'm going to give away today. Yeah, you're kind of short. You're right. Listen to this now. To any of you, $50 bill. Now, the reason I want to give away $50 bill is because I know you ain't got the answer. Listen to this now. Verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the big that overcomes the world. Our faith. What's he mean? In verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is a victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. He said, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. What's he mean by that? For whatever is born of God, or whatever, or whoever is born again overcomes the world. Now, in context to what I just taught you earlier, I'm going to go back a little bit. Come on, Daddy, you can do it. I know you need diapers for your baby. Dig deep, Daddy, dig deep. What? Hold on. For this is the love of God. See, you're smart. You know what your dad tells you, the verse before what? He's meaning to the verse. Exactly right. He wants $50. He ain't going to get him. For this is the love, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not a burden to us. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. I got 30 seconds to answer this. I'm keeping my ticket dollar. No, so, but what does he mean by overcoming the world? I want a precise answer. What do you mean by overcoming the world? The what? But how can you overcome the world? But I want a specific answer. That's not specific. Okay. He sort of got it, but not really. And if he did get it, I'm going to tell him. That's my lunch money for the week. You were born. You came out of your mother's womb with what kind of spirit? A spirit of what? Or the spirit of the? Spirit of the? What was in your spirit of the world when you got born again? Sin. Nobody taught me. Now, I'm just going to judge myself. That way nobody will say nothing. Well, he's talking to me. No. Nobody taught me how to buy pornography. The spirit of the world in me was my teacher. Nobody taught me how to drink, and I drunk good. Nobody taught me that, but the spirit of the world that was in me. When I get born again, nobody tells me to do right, but the spirit of God that is in me. This is what he was saying here. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Overcomes the world. What died in me? The moment that I gave my life to Jesus, the what? The spirit of what? Or the spirit of, in context, the spirit of the world. He said, he that's born again overcomes the world. What do you mean, John? You overcame the spirit of the world that was in you, that dictated to you what you could do and what you couldn't do. Sin was your daddy because the spirit of the world lived inside of you. That's why I'm so concerned about the body of Christ. Because once you genuinely get born again, God comes and lives inside of you. The spirit of the world is put to death. You've been born again. You cannot continue in sin habitually. If you do, you are not born again. You are not. Quit being deceived. Quit being a dummy. He said, you overcome the world. What do you mean I overcome the world, John? You overcame the spirit of sin that's of the world that you inherited when you got born, when you came out of your mother's womb. You overcame that spirit. How? By being born again. By being born of God. That spirit of the world. That death sentence. The spirit of sin was put to death. You receive life in your spirit. Now God came and lived inside of you. He said, whoever is born again overcomes the world. What do you mean? They overcome the spirit of the world that's in them, that used to be in them. You gave your life to Jesus, man. Living right for God is not a burden to you anymore. Why? Because living right lives inside of you now. You just gotta want it. You just gotta want it. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. I get born again and you say I overcome the world. What do you mean, John? You overcame the spirit of the world. You overcame it because the spirit of the world was put to death the moment you gave your life to God. See, the biggest lie in the kingdom of God is that we have a sin nature. Now, let's answer this question here. Think about this. It's not a trick question. If I got a sin nature, think about it now carefully. If I got a sin nature, if indeed what the church says is true, that I got a sin nature. Now listen carefully now. If I truly have a sin nature, if what the church says is true, then do I have an excuse to sin? Think about it now. If what the church says is true, I've got an old sinful nature, then if I sin, do I have an excuse? Yes, I do. Because I have a what? But that's a lie from the pits of hell. Well, I did it because I'm struggling in the flesh and I got a sin nature. No, you don't. whatever is born of God overcomes the world, the spirit of the world. That dead spirit of sin that you used to have when you got born again, man, you gave your life to Jesus. That spirit was put to death and a brand new spirit came in and lived inside the spirit of God, which is the spirit of righteousness. And now righteousness and truth comes out of your spirit. You do not have a sin nature. You did it. I did it because I wanted to. Sin no longer has dominion over us, Romans 6:14. Please be accountable if you did it. Don't blame the devil. Don't say you did it because you got a sin nature. Don't blame nobody. Square your shoulders. Lift up your hands to heaven and say, Jesus, I did it because I chose to. Sin has no power over me because I've overcome the world the day I got born again. You do not have a sin nature. Well, I did it because I... No, you don't. Don't listen to that pathetic man or woman of God that fed you that lie. Because if I got a sin nature, then I'm going to sin tomorrow because I got an excuse. I don't have an excuse. If I've been born again, I've overcome the world. What part of the world have I overcome? The spirit of the world that I inherited when I got born out of my mother's womb. Nobody taught me to do wrong. Wrong was in me. But then I said yes to Jesus and then right came and lived inside of my heart. Listen to this, we're almost done. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What you say? Our faith. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. And what is our faith? That Jesus Christ is the Son. Now this was written to little children. To those that had just been born again. This is what he says. Let's say Alex just got born again right now. Jesus Christ was here. He looked at him. And he, Alex, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. But Jesus, no, Alex. If you're born again, you overcome the world. Therefore, not one person in here has an excuse to sin. Why? Because we have been born of God. This is what he said to a person that's just born again. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, the spirit of the world, our faith. Six or seven simple words that I confessed with my mouth and believed in my heart gave me power over the spirit of the world. Why? Because those six or seven words that I confessed with my mouth and I believed in my heart caused the spirit of the world that I inherited from my mother's womb, from Adam, when I said, Jesus Christ, you are the Son of God, come into my heart, be my Savior. Immediately the spirit of the world, the sin nature, was put to death. And a brand new nature came to live inside of me. My faith, my confession with my mouth, and the belief, what I confessed in my mouth, saved me instantaneously. Death, the spirit of the world, was put to death. And I knew right from wrong immediately because God came and lived inside of me. What caused God to live inside of me? My confession of faith that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And with that confession of faith, John wrote, it took John 75 years to write 5 chapters. He said, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Why? Because the spirit of the world no longer exists inside of you. You went from having the spirit of the world to the spirit of God inside of you. Now, he asked me to keep his commandments because his commandments are what? They're in me. A simple belief in my heart and a confession with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. God came and lived inside of me. I was born again, and whoever is born again has overcome the world. To what capacity? You overcame the world because the spirit of the world no longer lives inside of you. Now the spirit of God lives inside of you. You have been born again. Being a Christian, there's a fruit behind it. There's fruit behind it. Verse 5, Who is he who overcomes the world? In context, in context. He said, who is he that overcomes the world? What do you think he means by that, Alex or Renee? Who is he that overcomes the world? Overcomes what of the world? The what? The spirit of the world. He says, who is he that overcomes that death sentence that we inherited from Adam? Who is he that overcomes that sin nature that we were born with? Who is he that overcomes the dominion of sin? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. If you mean that with all your heart and you confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart, instantaneously, man, the Spirit of God comes and lives inside of you. And you go from unrighteousness to righteousness. You go from dark to light. Who is he who overcomes the world? Listen to that. Listen to this. You could just hear this right here. That'll be enough for you, Dada. Who is he who overcomes the world? Or who is he that overcomes the spirit of the world? Who is he that overcomes sin? Who, John? He? Who? Who, John? Tell me. Dada, Miss Rosie, Julio. You want to know who's the one that overcomes the world, who overcomes sin? You want to know who? He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Immediately you're impregnated by the Holy Spirit with the Spirit of God. If you can ever grasp what I've been teaching with simplicity, if you could ever grasp it, you will never ever be the same. So now that I'm born again, I've overcome the spirit of the world because the spirit of the world no longer lives inside of me. Righteousness lives inside of me. What if I don't do what's right? Well, it's called sin. Do you always do what's right, Pastor Homer? No. No, I don't. But I don't do the majors. Somebody said that there's no difference in sin. Well, if I go blow somebody's head off with a gun, point blank, and if I pull in front of Evelyn at Burger King in my car, my friends, there's a difference. Big dummy. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. But our operation is internal. The kingdom of God is internal. Even if I never read the Bible again, let's say, I'll pick on Alex. If Alex got born again today, he gave his life to Jesus, and the scripture says, pertaining to Alex, Alex, you're an overcomer. Why am I an overcomer, Jesus? Because you confess that Jesus is my Son. So if Alex was put in prison, I'm done again, so early. He got put in prison, Evelyn. And he didn't have access. Listen now. Be careful how you answer this question. They put him in prison for his faith. He got born again and he cried for days because he felt the love of God so strong in his life. But the Bible said, pertaining to Alex, Alex, you're an overcomer now. You've overcome the spirit of this world because you've been born again. So then the Muslims come and they take him and they put him in prison and they throw away his Bible. They only read it one night. They put him in prison. He didn't have access to the Bible. At the end of that year sentence term, did Alex, for that entire year, being born of God, did he have enough in him to make it as a Christian? Yes or no? Why? Because he was what? Because he was born again. And the scripture is the final say-so. I'm not the final say-so in this word. My pastor's not the final say-so in this word. The Mormons, they're not the final say-so in this word. Neither is the Baptist church or the other church. Neither is Young Life. Neither is any other church or establishment in this town. The word is the final say-so. If the word says that whoever is born of God overcomes the world, It's over. It's over. God comes and lives inside of you. We've been impregnated by the Spirit of God. You have been born again, my friends. The Spirit of God lives inside of you. That's why if you find a Christian that's unhappy, it's because that Christian is going against the love of God that lives inside of him. Plain and simple. If you've been born of God, you overcome the spirit of this world. Because the spirit of this world has been put to death. You are an overcomer. The commandments of God are not a burden to you. Why? Because the commandments of God, Sister Barbara, live inside of me and you. And when I habitually obey the commandments of God that are inside me and you, I'm testifying that I love God Almighty. Love is nothing more than obeying the love of God that lives inside of you. You find me a Christian that walks in love, that Christian will walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. I love you with all my heart, God. Oh, Jesus. Man told me one time, you can't mess with me. I'm a child of God. Yeah, wow. He said it again. He said, you can't mess with me. I'm a child of God. He said it again. He said, he's not even allowed me to give the letters. But he cussed. He said, I'm a blankety blank child of God. You can't mess with me. And he was serious. Where does that come from, friends? Where does it come from? The problem is nowadays that the church doesn't know the will of God. They don't know what lives inside of them. If God says it, then it's so. God's word, it's settled. Psalm 18 said it's holy and it's undefiled. See, this word stays the same forever. Through trial and tribulation, through heartbreak, this word stays the same forever. The Lord does not have PMS. He's not bipolar. He doesn't have sugar diabetes. He's not moody. This word is stable, holy, and undefiled. He said, if you're born of God, you are an overcomer. You overcome the thing. That's why he said, do not love the world or the things in the world. Why did he tell us that? Because we had the capacity not to love the world. Because the spirit of the world no longer lived inside of me and you. Pastor Homer, I'm struggling right now. What should I do? Well, for one, don't go on Facebook and tell everybody how holy you are, for one. Just repent. Read your Bible. And eat your bread in silence. Don't say nothing. Because I get real mind-boggled by Facebook. And I keep saying I'm going to cut it off, but I don't, because I reach a lot of people out there. Either you're born again, my friend, or you're not. I'm not saying you're not going to make mistakes. But either you're born again or you're not. Who is he that's born again and overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? If you're born again, the spirit of the world does not live inside of you anymore because you've confessed Jesus Christ as the Son of God. When you weren't born again, we lived like hell, man. Because hell lived inside of us. Now that we're born again, sinful nature has been put to death. Now righteousness lives inside of us. Let's live according to what's inside of us. How do you do it? Reading 1 John over and over again. Do you memorize it? No. Do you walk in it? I read it a couple of times. I only read it about 3 or 4 times this week. You know why I read it? You know why I read 1 John 3 or 4 times this week? Not to teach it. To walk in it. I'll probably read it to the day I die. Because Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you have love one to another. My friends, if you confess Jesus with your mouth, believed in your heart that He is the Son of God, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Let me tell you what I'm giving you today through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Notice what I said now. What I gave you, you might not appreciate it right now. But I've gone over this book 500 or 600 times, maybe thousands of times, maybe. Why so much? Because I'm an idiot and I can't grasp love yet. But what I'm giving you has been hidden. And not many people know what I'm giving you through the wisdom of, not because I'm smart, because I pray in tongues a lot. What I'm giving you today is real and it's tangible. If you can grasp it, you do not have a sinful nature. You do not have it. Well, the Bible doesn't say it in context. It doesn't. It says it, but not in context. It doesn't. 2 John and 1 John, my friends. Read them. Over and over and over and over again. This is discipleship class number 4. To know God in truth, to know God in truth is to confess the truth. The truth is that Jesus Christ is His Son. I'm born again. Now I'm called to walk in the love that's inside of me. And that is the love of God keeping His commandments. He talked about the spirit of Antichrist. We've overcome that spirit. We've been born again. Now that we're born again, living right is not a burden to us. Because living right lives inside of us. See, by this will all men know that you are mine, Miss Detta, Mr. Homer. If you live according to what lives inside of you.